What is up, Level Up Nation, and welcome to the April 11th edition of OTN's Level Up Live, your home for the hottest takes in gaming news. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by the king of the courtside king now positioned on the far extreme left of your screen. Joey, what's up, buddy?
Doing well, sir. How about yourself?
You know, this week has sucked. I'm just going to throw that out there. I am ready for the weekend. But first, we got to get through our show here tonight, and I'm very excited for our show tonight because we are joined by a special guest, Joe. We've had him on the show before. I refer to him as the Living Holocron because his Star Wars knowledge is absurdly epic. I go to him for all my Star Wars questions, and since this is going to be a Star Wars heavy episode, of course we had to bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers of all ages, it is Eric, the host of SB Transmissions, Starlight Beacon Transmissions. Eric, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for joining us today.
Wow, what an intro.
Yeah. Live up
I'm
to
doing
it.
Great. Yeah, exactly. I'm watch it. Like, all my knowledge is just, like, going to go just like that tonight. Like, what's a Star Wars? Anyway.
That's not well. Star Wars. That's Star Trek, sir.
Oh, okay. Sorry. But no, doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. This is great.
Absolutely. So, Joey, I teased it a little bit here at the beginning, but it's going to be a little bit more of a Star Wars heavy show, but we're going to figure out what we're talking about here in a little bit. First Nation, we have homework for you. If you're already listening to the show, if you're watching us live on Twitch, you better be following us on social media. That is not a threat. It is a demand. Simple as that. Follow the show on Twitter or X or whatever Elon's calling it this week, and Facebook at OTN Media. And while you are, before we do that, Threads and Instagram is OTN underscore media. Whoever is squatting on OTN media, we will find you and we will force you to change your username. Simple as that. But yes, OTN underscore media. While you're on social media as well, you can follow Joey at Courtside King on all the socials as well. And you can follow myself at Is This Thing John. And you can, that is for all social media across the board as well. And you can follow Eric if you want to give him a follow as well. We strongly recommend. In fact, we're going to demand you follow him as well. SB Transmissions across the board there for all the social medias as well. And make sure you tune into his podcast and RPG shows. We'll touch on that a little bit later in the show as well here for Eric. And Nation, while the live show is the place to be, we do offer the show in the podcast form roughly 24 hours after the live show airs here on Twitch. You can check out the Level Up Podcast available on your podcatcher of choice. Just look us up, Level Up Podcast. Extra credit, hack into your grandma's Amazon Prime account and use that Twitch Prime sub on OTN Media. Joey will fly out and scrub your feet for you free of charge. It's quite a great deal for just $4.99 for a free sub on the Prime Twitch sub there for you on OTN. Joey, Mr. Feet Scrubber, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about dead skin and how to remove it best. overall, our main focus, we're switching up our format a little bit today, guys. Usually we go through our consoles, Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, and so on and so forth, and talk about all the news within those platforms. But we're switching things around to best accommodate our guests today. Eric, with his strong knowledge of Star Wars, is going to bring in our main focus of Star Wars Outlaws. We got a new look at a story trailer, as well as a deep dive from the developer team over there. So we're going to go into that, who you're facing as enemies, what planets we're traveling to, and so on and so forth. We're going to take a quick look at the Fallout series that just launched on Amazon Prime, and we're going to do a quick rundown of a few other topics just at the top of the show, so you guys are aware of those as well.
All right, Joey, let's see if I have this transition built in correctly. I forgot to do this part pre-show. Your drink of choice, Eric, it's not mandatory that you participate, but you're more than welcome to. Joey, what is your beverage of choice here for today's episode?
I have nothing exciting. I actually forgot to grab a drink, so I have about a third of a water bottle left to go. Yay!
Joey, this is episode 335.
I know.
335. Eric, did you understand the assignment?
I did, and I delivered. I am actually drinking some Mandarin Orange sparkling water that I just picked up at the grocery store, so...
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Spiked with Everclear, too. Is that what you said?
God, I wish.
Four different kinds of tequila. What? Eric getting shwasted on Level Up.
Straight vodka.
What are we, back in high school? All right. Some of us went to public school. I am rocking.
I did too.
Coke Zero in the amazing peach colored glass here tonight. No alcohol either, but it's at least two of us brought a drink. All right. So we have our show outlined here for you. It's going to be a fun episode, folks, if you can't tell already. A lot of great personality here tonight. I'm going to throw it over to you, transitionally wise. Good luck. I have already screwed it up. Let's go.
Again, guys, just to do a quick rundown, there are quite a few news stories this week, but today we're going to spend time on just a couple topics. But if you guys want to look at some of the other stuff happening throughout the gaming sphere, here is some of the bigger stories. EA Play, they are increasing their subscription price. So if you're currently subscribed to EA Play, keep an eye out for that as that price is going up. As of right now, the Game Pass subscription is not going up for the one it's included in with EA Play, the Ultimate Edition. That could change in the future, so keep an eye on that as well. xCloud, if you're playing on cloud devices with Xbox Gaming, there are now some further knitting of console, PC, and Xbox Gaming together with the Friends List and Party System now available on the cloud platform as well through browser or the app. PlayStation players, your catalog just got updated for PS Plus. Quite a few new additions coming in there. Make sure to check those out as they should be loaded up this week if they have not already been. Blizzard players in China. I don't know if too many of you guys listen to the podcast, but hey, China just inked a new deal with NetEase. So if we do have any Chinese listeners coming in from China, now you guys can play Blizzard games here soon enough. I believe they're set to land in June 2024 with that deal tying up and things going back to normal over there for Blizzard fans. Pentiment, made from Obsidian Games. There's now a documentary out there. This seems to be a common thing in gaming recently. The Last of Us did it. Psychonauts with Double Fine did it. Xbox did another documentary as well. If you guys want to see how Pentiment was made, there's now a great documentary out there from Noclip. Definitely would recommend that if you're interested in that style. Destiny 2 players, you have a new trailer in Into the Light. Dredge, the indie kind of horror game that won quite a few awards or was nominated for quite a few awards this year, also is getting a live-action film announced. And then last but not least, before we dive hot and heavy into Star Wars, the III Showcase was this week. There are about 30-some games shown. Definitely recommend checking it out if you're into indie games. The Rogue Prince of Persia game was shown. Slay the Spire 2 was another big title. Pal World is getting an arena mode, so John can put his money where his mouth is when he talks about going head-to-head in these different games. We can do a little Pal World action there. Hyper Light Breaker, Vampire Survivors, new expansion and coming to PlayStation, and much more. So if you guys want to check out those indie games, the III Showcase is the place to be. And I think that'll wrap up your other news section before we dive full force into Star Wars Outlaws.
Now,
so
with that being said, wait a second.
Yeah, please.
You're over here going to talk smack about Pal World. I haven't even launched that game in like a month and a half.
It's been a minute since I launched it as well.
I would have expected,
I will be back for arena mode.
I would have expected Nintendo to go full lawsuit on this already, and they have not done so yet. It's a little weird. Fully expected that. So yeah, very, very interesting there as well. Go ahead.
I guess I'm one of the three people in the world that has not played Pal World yet.
You still haven't tried it?
I still have not tried it yet.
Wow, I'm surprised actually.
Well, Eric, I'd like to thank you for joining the show. Your services are no longer needed.
For having me,
enjoy
guys.
The rest of your evening.
Yeah, thank you. This was fun.
All right. That really surprises me.
Yeah.
That is stunning to me. Wow.
Interesting.
Well, we'll see if you can hold up once we start the arena off.
Oh,
and then also the other thing, Destiny 2. I have a good friend who's a big Destiny 2 player. He's been trying for years to get me to get back into Destiny. And apparently Destiny 2 now is going to have like a co-op mode for campaign and all this other stuff in this. I don't know. I haven't paid attention to Destiny 2 in so long because Destiny 1 ticked me off that much. So he's been trying to convince me to come back. I'm entertaining the thought. I don't think the expansion itself is going to be enough to pull me in, but we will see.
For what it's worth, I think there's enough evidence out there to state that a Destiny 3 is in the works.
Oh, gosh.
So I wouldn't overcommit yourself to Destiny 2 at this point in its lifespan.
I just, you know, that's my thing. If you're going to launch a game and say this is going to be the base game and we're going to roll out expansions a la World of Warcraft style, And then you launch Destiny 2. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, creating a 6v6 shooter game with like a brand new IP from a company that hasn't had an original IP in 10 plus years. And then saying, oh, yeah, this is going to be a base game. We're just going to add updates to it, like live service game, like a League of Legends kind of thing. And then, I don't know, come out with Overwatch 2. There. I said the name. I said the name of the game. I tried to avoid it. Overwatch 2, trash. Destiny 2, also trash. Weird. It's like things that come out that are not supposed to be there when the developer says, oh, this is going to be a base game and we're just going to add to it. When they try to reinvent the wheel, they actually make it Square. Who would have thought? It's weird. It's strange.
I, too, am in that camp with you, John.
Thank you.
I just, yeah, I'm not a fan of either one of those.
Welcome back to the show, Eric. Joey, yeah, your services are no longer needed.
I agree with you both. I mean, it's one of those things, right? Like, if you're going to put out a base game, and it's one of those things where you, I mean, they sold Destiny as an MMO to begin with. It feels like, and I know there are successful sequels out there, like Guild Wars 2 is obviously a big one with a 2 in the title. With that being said, yeah, it feels like Destiny 1 was sold as, this is a big MMO, this is something you can invest your time in, this is something where product will carry over, and then you have Destiny 2, and it kind of resets a bunch of stuff, and it redoes the story.
Everything.
And yeah, now you're going into potentially a Destiny 3 out there before this big expansion that ends kind of Destiny 2's, what is it, the Light and Dark saga, I think, with Destiny. Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like, I committed a decent amount of time to Destiny 2. I thoroughly enjoyed it for a while. After a while, it got kind of grindy when you're in that like late game, end game kind of content. And knowing that there is a potential endpoint in the near future gives me kind of both feelings, right? Like, it's like, oh, I can grind to an endpoint, but at the same point, all of my progress will be lost here when Destiny 3 potentially launches here in the near, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years out, probably early next gen, I would guess.
Well, I would also say this about Destiny 2. Like, they want to try to bring in more players with this latest expansion, but how are you going to bring in new players when this is the final expansion to your current game before you launch your third title?
Eric, how dare 100%. You? Don't pull the curtain back and expose the man behind the curtain. Don't do that.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You know what? I'll leave. I'll leave.
Send him into the field of poppy seeds, as they say.
Who says that? Guys,
you ended the man behind the curtain. Joey. Wizard of Oz? Come on.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Spider monkey on me. Oh, my gosh.
He came at you like a spider monkey.
She came down in a bubble, Doug.
Let's talk Star Wars, ladies and gentlemen. Star Wars Outlaws. We saw this trailer initially, a year ago at this point, I feel like, at the Xbox showcase.
10 months.
Maybe Ubisoft showcase. It was first shown with a premiere trailer. Since then, we've seen a gameplay trailer as well as a new story trailer that dropped this past week. We now have an idea of some of the syndicates involved, some of the locations involved. Eric, I'm going to go to you first as someone who knows probably the most of the Star Wars universe overall out of all of us. How do you expect this to expand the universe past what we've already seen, especially with the different planets and syndicates?
Okay, so going syndicate-wise, we're going to see Crimson Dawn, which was huge in Solo. Which is one of my favorite Star Wars movies. Don't even get me started because I will die on that hill every single time. So we're going to see Crimson Dawn. So there's and Kira has been confirmed for the game as well. So and if you're unfamiliar with who Kira is, she's now in charge of Crimson Dawn, and she kind of took over after Darth Maul died. Spoiler alert for those that haven't watched Star Wars Rebels. So we're going to see Crimson Dawn. We're going to see the Pikes, who were prominent in Book of Boba Fett as well as in Solo. We've been seeing them more and more in comic books as well. They were in the big War of the Bounty Hunters event along with Crimson Dawn. And I believe we have a couple of brand new syndicates. I have to get the names again, but it's going to be interesting to see, to finally get to experience the criminal underworld, because we haven't really gotten much of that in Star Wars. You know, if you look at Book of Boba Fett, it was teased as this criminal underworld show, and we all saw how that worked out. but
Mandalorian season 3.
Yeah. Essentially.
First off, I will not accept slander on the Mighty Morphin Vespa Rangers.
I mean, I do love me some Go-Go Vespa Rangers. and the slowest car chase imaginable.
The best car chase scene ever.
Yes. Anyway, back to Star Wars Outlaws. So we're going to be getting a lot of the criminal underworld. We're also going to see Canto Bight from The Last Jedi, which is the casino area that I like to call it fun with Finn and Rose. Mm. I like to call that sequence from The Last Jedi that. And then we're also going to see Kijimi, which was in Rise of Skywalker. And that's where Babu Frick was with his droidsmith operation. So we're actually going to see that. And I believe we're getting a couple of new planets. And we're also going to see Tatooine, because there's a sequence in the trailer that shows Kay meeting Jabba the Hutt. And Star Wars alum D. Bradley Baker is actually doing the voice of Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars Outlaws. So that's pretty cool. Maybe I answered your question.
Oh, you definitely answered my question. Did you mention Akiva?
No, I did not mention Akiva. Akiva is going to be in there. Well. Yeah. And I believe there's a brand new moon that they're showing in the game as well.
So the syndicate that you were kind of skirting around was the Ashiga clan.
Yes.
That's going to be the new syndicate. And then the new location is Toshara.
Yes. And that's the moon that has like the Serengeti feel, I believe.
Serengeti.
I think that. Yeah. So like if you look at it, like a lot of like the plains on.
Oh,
on
yeah.
That,
Windset plains and canyons.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Serengeti. I like that description.
But that's what it looks like. Like a lot of the trees on that moon look like they're from the Serengeti, mm-hmm. which I think is pretty cool.
Looking at Toshara, so Eric gave you guys a great description there of the Serengeti trees. On top of that, so lots of strong winds is what it's described as. A lot of eroded structures. So think like kind of Grand Canyon-y in that aspect. It's known as the Gem of the Underworld. And the moon was considered a hive of criminal activity, at least based on this fandom page. Last but not least, it will be under imperial control, it sounds like. Again, if this piece is accurate. The local governors of Toshara leaned into corruption, making special deals and arrangements with crime lords, syndicates, and criminals. So I'm very excited to see this. And again, like you mentioned, Eric, it's a different landscape. Like, sure, there are definitely planets with some of this out there. But as far as planets we've explored in games of Star Wars yet, I think this is the first time we kind of get your Serengeti trees.
Yeah, I would say the closest that came to it was kind of Kobo in Star Wars Jedi. Yeah, in Jedi Survivor. Yeah, we kind of got like a little bit of like the mixed ecology on a planet or a moon in that game. So it's really cool to see more Earth-like worlds, whether they be moons or planets in Star Wars, that have like the various ecosystems like throughout the planet or the moon. So that's something I'm really excited to see.
Yeah, I'm definitely stoked for that. And we started talking about the syndicates as well, John. I know your boy Jabba the Hutt is making an appearance in this one. Eric mentioned that we will be traveling to his palace on Tatooine. With you kind of I'm going to say embracing the dark side from time to time in some of these Star Wars games. What in particular are you looking forward to with these syndicates, the new ones and the old?
First off, I am the dark side, Joey.
Oh, that is a statement. Let's be right here.
No, I mean, it's going to be what I like about this is that this has the same kind of feel that Andor had on Disney Plus. It's going to be a Star Wars story that doesn't focus on Jedi versus Sith. It's going to mm-hmm. be a different story that fills in a different, roughly it's the same storyline, but it's going to be from a different perspective, focusing on smugglers and the underground and kind of like the criminal aspect of what's going on, the other influencers around the world. And we see, throughout Star Wars times where both the Rebels and the Empire rely on criminal underground to do certain things, whether it's bounty hunters, whether it's just, helping control a planet or a section or the economy or whatever, they don't hesitate to reach out for help in those areas. So this is going to be a very interesting mix. And then, I fully expect to see syndicates on both, play both sides of the field as well. And you as a player, most likely you're going to have a lot of ethical and moral choices to make in this game. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the syndicates. I'm excited to see just that different perspective on the world of Star Wars as we know it from the side of a smuggler and the criminal underground.
Yeah, and I feel like, Eric, you started to hit on it a little bit earlier. That's not really something we've seen too much as far as the underground goes. Like, I think back to, I think, Clone Wars. There was a decent amount of the underground kind of shown on Coruscant. We got a little bit with the Book of Boba Fett. But outside of those two, we really haven't seen a ton outside of novels, I feel like.
Yeah, the novels is where, like, they've been really hitting their stride. That and the comics, too, because you had the Dr. Aphra comic, which focused a lot on the criminal underworld, which, if you have not read Dr. Aphra, please do yourself a favor and read both of those runs. They're absolutely incredible. But we've had that. We've had it a lot in novels. Solo was, like, the big look at it as far as movies wise. And then we got a little bit of it in Rebels and got a lot of it in Clone Wars. And we've gotten a little bit of it in the Bad Batch. But, like, they've kind of gotten rid of that underworld story in the Bad Batch to focus on, like, what they're currently doing with that. So it's nice to get a piece of Star Wars media that tells this long form story about these criminal syndicates. And it's really cool because it's set during the Civil War. So, and this is actually between Empire and Jedi. So we're going to see that War of the Bounty Hunters that I alluded to. You know, they show Han Solo in carbonite in the trailer. So, you know, we're going to see a lot of these criminal underworld organizations just fighting it out. And it's going to be interesting to see where Kay falls into the mix.
And I think she's from Canto Bight, if I remember correctly. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
So I think that'll be interesting as well. And I'm curious if they try to tie any of that in. Like you mentioned, it wasn't a previous film. If we do see any tie-ins from that perspective as well.
I think the thing that we're going to see the tie-in with Canto Bight is we're definitely going to see the casino. We're probably going to see the corrupt cops. Mm-hmm. And then we're most likely going to see maybe the Fathier races as well. Those were the horse-like creatures from The Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
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 You're not going to see Broom Kid. Sorry.
That would be a surprise, right? Right after the credits. Another credits scene. A little Broom Kid action. So Crimson Dawn, we've talked a little bit about them. They obviously made their appearance in one of your favorite Star Wars films of Solo. Yes. With them appearing here and Kira taking the lead, does this give you hope for a Solo 2? Or does this end Solo 2 and put a spike right through the heart?
Oh, no. This gives me even more of a hope of Solo 2. Even Lawrence and John Kasdan, who wrote Solo, really want to go back and make a Solo 2. And even Donald Glover has said that he wants to go back and make Solo 2. So this gives me more hope. And I think that this game is definitely going to deliver on the Solo 2 hype. And hopefully Lucasfilm says, you know what? The Make Solo 2 Happen campaign is still going really strong. This game is kind of Solo 2-esque. So why don't we just dive right into it? I know John doesn't want to see Solo 2.
Look, the fact that you describe this game as Solo 2 makes me not want to play it now.
I said it was like Solo 2.
I will speak for the vocal majority. Solo was a bad movie. I'm sorry. Like, I get it. And maybe it will age like wine. And that's what I'm kind of hoping. I think the downfall for Solo and anything related to the Solo movie was Rogue One, because Rogue One was so incredible. It's hard to follow that up. And I feel like any like standalone movie in the Star Wars universe following Rogue One, like Solo did, it would not live up to that Rogue One hype. And I feel like that's where I'm at. So my bias I'm fully putting out there is I was heavily influenced by Rogue One. There are parts of Solo I liked. You know, I do like the different aspect of like the syndicates and the crime underground and you know, things like that. So like it was a different look. I just hope this game tells the story a little bit better with a little bit more action. That's just me. Like when we're talking in comparison to Solo. Now, who knows? Maybe this game may be the aerator to the wine that is Solo, and the flavor will increase with this game. But I do feel like Solo would possibly have a bigger impact with more support around that storyline. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. And, you know, and I agree. I do think Outlaws is definitely a Solo-esque story. Obviously, it follows another scoundrel like Han Solo. So, you know, there's, you know, it's going to have ties. And there's going to be things that feel similar. Obviously, like you said, Solo and Carbonite. You know, Han Solo and Carbonite was in this trailer. So, you know, I have high hopes for this game. A lot of the Star Wars games that have come out lately have been incredible. So I have no reason to think this one won't be. I just do get nervous with all the comparisons to the movie just because of my own perceived bias again for my interpretation of Solo. So like that's kind of where I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess.
So just going back to what you said about Solo, like not being as well received, I also feel like there was a lot of backlash with The Last Jedi because this was like 6 months after The Last Jedi too. So like a lot of people were still pretty bitter from that movie. And that's also why Solo didn't do so well. Solo also didn't really do so well because it was sandwiched in between both Infinity War and Deadpool 2.
Valid. So, it's a valid argument.
Yeah. So, like, if they had put it in December of that year, I'm pretty sure it would have done a lot better. But that's, you know, but we're not here to talk about Star Wars movies.
I mean, to some degree we are, right? Like, they all link together in one way or another.
Yeah, they do. But this is definitely, like, the trailer is definitely as cinematic as a Star Wars movie. And I love just the excitement that Kay has as a character. Like, she's an infectious character, just like in that trailer. One of my favorite bits is the bit where she flips the switches and then the seat starts raising in the ship. That's like one of my favorite bits because what Star Wars does well is it does comedy very well. So that's what I'm.
Yeah, I think the comedic relief will definitely be here. It feels like her character, I think whimsical is probably a good way to describe it, but also deadly. I mean, she's a bounty hunter herself. She's done a lot of successful heisting throughout her time in the galaxy based on the backstory. And this game itself is going to kind of revolve around the biggest heist yet, which I think is just a really interesting concept as well. We've obviously heard the legends of the Kessel Run that Solo has had back in the day. And I'm curious if Kay can kind of make her own legacy here with this potential heist that she is planning. Now, on top of this heist that you're planning out, you're also going to be chased by a bounty hunter. So Solira, one of the galaxy's elites, has kind of set someone out. I believe the Vale or something along that lines is the name of the bounty hunter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe this is their debut.
I believe so, too. I think this is a new one, a kind of a bounty hunter, one of the best bounty hunters supposedly in the Outer Rim at this time. So I'm curious to see. I wouldn't say that's something new in games. There are definitely games where you're chased down by an enemy before, but kind of recruiting people for this heist, planning this heist while being chased, I think is going to be an interesting aspect to see play out as a player.
So real quick, this gives me a lot of vibes from there is a Legends novel in Star Wars called Scoundrels that Timothy Zahn wrote. And it's literally Ocean's 11 with Han Solo, Lando and Chewie.
Oh,
and it's amazing. John, I see your face, but I mean, give it a shot because it's awesome.
It sounds hella entertaining.
The sad part is like even with that description, my mind still went to like National Treasure. And like we're gonna steal the Declaration. Like I don't know why my mind went there, but that's automatically what I thought of. Even you said Ocean's 11. I'm weird, is what it is.
But I highly recommend if you're looking for a good heist story to kind of get you ready for this, definitely read Scoundrels. It's an old Legends novel. You can definitely find it on Kindle. I believe it's also on Audible. And also like on Amazon, like I'm sure you can pick up the paperback pretty cheap. So, yeah.
I love it. Love the book, Rex. So being chased by this bounty hunter, John, how are you going to plan your heist out during this? And also as far as like mechanics, right? Like in the past in these Star Wars games, we've had a lot of lightsabers, whether you're playing as an evil character, a dark character per se, or a light character, lightsaber is typically the weapon of choice. We've seen blasters introduced here and there in different gameplay elements. We saw them a little bit in Jedi Survivor with one of the stances. But overall, we really haven't had a blaster as the main weapon in at least quite a few decades, I feel like, in Star Wars games outside of remasters. What do you think is going to be so different with this, and how do you expect them to expand the gameplay just having a blaster as the main weapon?
You know, I really don't think the gameplay is going to expand that much. I feel like there's a lot of just gun games out there that I don't think Ubisoft's going to be out there to reinvent the wheel here when it comes to creating a shooting-style game. I think it's going to be, you know, fairly basic, and I think that's arguably what they want to go for in this game. You don't want to have a blaster that can also like build you a droid at the same time while also refueling your ship. Like, you know, you just want a gun. Like, you want a gun. That's what Han Solo had. He had a blaster. This is essentially a story like Han Solo's story. Like, that's what you want. You want a blaster. I think the change here being that this is a very different Star Wars game than what we've gotten from like Star Wars Fallen Order and Survivor. You know, obviously those are lightsabers. Like, obviously Star Wars is known for lightsabers. You know, so even a small switch to focusing on blasters, again, like Andor, you didn't need lightsabers to make Andor a great series. You had blasters in there also. Same thing here. You know, just because there's not a lightsaber, it doesn't mean it's not a Star Wars game. It's just told from a different perspective, and that perspective is from a scoundrel that uses a blaster. So I don't think it's going to be anything too shocking, but I do think it's going to be a nice change of pace for those who play a lot of Star Wars games to have a blaster. But if you play like Star Wars The Old Republic, the MMORPG, scoundrels are in there too, and you have blasters, and you know, they're pretty powerful, you know, weapons in that game. So, you know, if they take anything away from the success of the Star Wars MMORPG into this game, I think people will be completely fine with the blaster aspect of this game moving away from just strictly lightsabers.
So the only thing I'm really seeing with the gameplay that's different is that you'll be able to control Nyx, who's your pet, and like Nyx will be able to pick up like blasters and retrieve them for you. So like that's the only thing I'm seeing. Like, a lot of the gameplay that I've seen so far, it looks like it's going to be a cover shooter, kind of like what The Division was, and this was the same studio that worked on The Division, so
the same developer. So it reminds me a lot of like BD1 from Jedi Survivor. So like you know, BD1 went out there and would find things for you and kind of be like your little side companion and do little things here and there. So I definitely think that's going to be a really cool aspect as well. As for being chased by a bounty hunter, as for someone who got very upset when bounty hunters showed up in Fallen Order,
I love those moments,
and I couldn't get away from them.
Yes,
that is going to be in the back of my mind. I'm going to have a little PTSD from those moments, knowing that a bounty hunter is chasing me. I will be fully expecting that moment, like, oh, what's that strange figure up ahead? And I walk up, the next thing I know, I'm trapped in this, you know, force field, and I can't go anywhere, and I get absolutely demolished, you know, Alderaan style against,
you
know, this.
I knew you were going to say
that. You know me too well. Against the bounty hunter. It's not too soon. It was 1974.
77.
Whatever. It's tomato, tomato. It's not here. So, but yeah, that's for me. It's probably going to give me that a little bit of anxiety that I'm going to need to like try to get things done, because I'm just going to be anticipating this bounty hunter to show up. And chances are this bounty hunter is going to show up multiple times during this story.
Oh yeah.
And I'm already getting anxious just thinking about it. I don't even have the damn thing pre-ordered yet, and I'm getting anxious. I think it's going to be really cool. It's definitely going to make the player, if they get immersed into the story, it's going to give them that anxious feeling of being chased, of being wanted by, you know, a criminal syndicate or a bounty hunter or whoever hired them and so on and so forth, coming after you while you're trying to pull off this heist. So it's just a little extra added pressure. And I think that's going to be really interesting. You don't have, the pressure of saving the Jedi Order on your shoulders, you have the pressure of saving your own bacon, which is a nice little twist.
Agreed. Definitely agreed. And it will be different. Like Eric has said, kind of in that underground environment, you're going to have a lot more enemies everywhere as opposed to being a Jedi where no one's really going to attack you unless you're kind of out in the wilderness, as we've seen in some of these other games. With all this being said, I do think we're going to see some progression. I think the main way they're going to do it is through equipment and skills. So I think we'll see stuff like different grenades potentially. I don't know if it'll be just a straight up frag grenade or smoke grenade or whatever, or if they're a little bit more galaxy out of this world types of grenades. I could see dual wielding being a thing in this game, being able to dual wield blasters as you level up. Yeah. I could see a few different blaster models and maybe a sniper rifle or so as you progress. I don't know if they'll go as heavy into the different models. I think they could stick with the main blaster for a while. The studio is known for a lot of different weapons, though. You look at the Division 2, there's a ton of weapons in that. Eric, I know you were a big fan of Avatar, the, what is it, Mist of Pandera?
World of Warcraft, my guy.
Frontiers of Pandora is what I meant to say.
There were tons of weapons in that. There were tons of weapons in that you could pick up, so...
Right. So I'm curious if we do see them kind of use that polishing of different weapons that we've seen in the past and how they integrate that into here. I could see explosive barrels and things like that being a thing. Like maybe it's not as much the different weapons, but the different environments that you can kind of play around with. Maybe there's like something hanging up in the air that you can shoot and drop like crates onto people. It could be just a variety through environment that we see without this game or throughout this game. I am very intrigued, though. I definitely think there's ways to play with it, whether it's different guns, environments, equipment type of stuff, dual wielding, I would love to see later on. Anything like that, I think, will be very intriguing.
So going back to what you said about the barrels and stuff, I believe that was in the reveal trailer because they show a mission with Kay, and like they show her shoot like a couple of like explosive barrels, and like it takes out like a couple of enemies. So
things you love to see. Brother loves an explosive barrel. I always find those fun to play around.
Yes, and I hope, I love thermal detonators in Star Wars, so I really hope that we get our hands on thermal detonators.
Oh, that would be the bounty hunter way, wouldn't it?
Yeah, ask Leia when she threatened Jabba. That's all I'm going to say.
I love it, I love it. What other hopes and dreams do you guys want to see throughout this game? One thing I want to see is no force sensitivity. I do not want this character to be force sensitive in any way whatsoever. I do not want to see a lightsaber in my hands. I would prefer to just stick to that blaster or other projectile-style weapons, per se. So that is one thing I hope not to see, and I know that's a big debate currently on social media as well.
So I don't want to see a Force-sensitive character, really. I love seeing Force-sensitive characters in other material. Like, I love the High Republic, tons of Force-sensitive characters in that story. However, there are a lot of people in Star Wars that are not force sensitive, and I want stories without force sensitive characters. Also, I know this is gonna probably piss John off, but I don't care. I don't want to see Vader. I want a Star Wars game where I don't see Darth Vader.
That is the wrong answer, sir.
I'm sorry, but I mean, I love Vader, and I was happy to see him in Fallen Order and in Survivor, but I don't want him in this one.
What if he makes an appearance?
If he makes an appearance, I'm not going to like be like, this is the worst game ever, and then like throw my controller at the TV. Like, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I'll just be like, oh, OK, that happened. And then I'll just move on.
I wonder if he will make an appearance. I lean toward Eric. I kind of hope we do not see an appearance, but he is just such an easy character to cameo in there.
What if it's like a cutscene? Like, obviously, like, it's not going to be like a fight or anything. Like, what if it was like a cutscene of him and the Emperor doing something, like talking to a syndicate or something via holotable or something like that?
Like, if he's involved like in a cutscene and it's like a brief cutscene, I'm okay with it. I just don't want a fight with Vader. You know, like, I just don't want like Vader trying to track me down, because at this point in the story, Vader has a lot going on, because he's also dealing with Exegol at the time in the comics, and he's also dealing with Padme's death, because he goes on an adventure with one of her old handmaidens. So, you know, maybe they'll keep him away because of all the other stuff that's going on in the comics and everything, but I don't know. If they find a way to bring him in and it makes sense to the story, I'm okay with it.
So what you're telling me is this should be Tarkin's moment.
No, because Tarkin's dead.
Is he at this point?
Yeah, because this is in between Empire and Jedi, and Tarkin died on the Death
you're
Star.
Right, you're yeah. right.
And you won't see Krennic because he died on
Yeah.
So
But the Emperor could come back.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
Oh, well, you could go the Boba Fett route.
You could, what, with Tarkin, like, in a Sarlacc pit for some reason?
Oh, no. I just meant Boba Fett in general. You could have him make an appearance as kind of, like, an iconic cameo.
But he would be in this. He probably will be in this game because of the War of the Bounty Hunters.
Right.
Going on at that time. So I think we have a chance at seeing Boba Fett and Bossk. IG-88 will probably be involved as well. Hopefully we can see Forlom and Zuckuss too, because I love those boys. I love my bounty hunters. And hopefully they bring in Vance as well, because that would be pretty cool too. There's a lot of potential there. As far as like high ranking Imperials, we could probably see Mos Meda show up maybe, because he's like Palpatine's right hand man.
What about Max Erebo? Will he make an appearance at the cantina?
I hope we see Max Erebo. I love Max Erebo. I want Max Erebo and Cy Snoodle. I want all of them. I also want my boy DJ Rex. If you can see my shirt here, John knows who I'm talking about. DJ Rex from Oga's Cantina.
I barely remember Oga's Cantina. I was so
shocked. Oh,
no, it wasn't that bad.
Those drinks are strong, though.
They
are really strong.
You get the last reservation of the night and you shut that place down. You will be there for hours.
Yeah, you will. You are stumbling back to the buses to get back to your hotel. That's all I'm going to say. Or stumbling back to your car.
No, not back to your car. We encourage safe drinking habits.
Do not drink and drive.
I meant with a designated driver. I didn't mean you.
Or a designated droid. Yes.
Or a designated droid. Yes, you need a designated droid. I prefer the Coke machine droids from Galaxy's Edge also. Like they seem like they're pretty good drivers, so. As far as Imperial officers, like we could see General Veers, who was in Empire Strikes Back. He led the assault on Hoth. We could see Admiral Azzel too. So we could see some of them, but I don't think you'll see like anybody too high up. I mean, we could also see Iden Versio's dad too, and maybe even Ray Sloan from the books. So who knows?
Plenty of options out there for sure. Definitely a lot of possibilities.
I rambled.
Oh no, you're totally fine. We can talk Star Wars all day. John, any other hopes and dreams that you want to see in this game before it releases in August?
I want to see Vader. No. Actually the one thing I want to point out, in comparison to some of the other Star Wars games we have recently gotten, I'm not gonna sit here and be super nitpicky, like some of our other fellow gaming brethren out there. I'm not super sold on the graphics. The texturing is not very good from what I've seen. There's certain things in the motion animation that seems a little pixelated. I'm really kind of hoping that this is kind of shot and taken from an earlier version of the game and that it's going to be cleaned up by the time the game launches. I think in comparison to what we saw with Fallen Order and Survivor, the graphics are below those qualities at the moment. That's my only issue I have is if there's one thing Star Wars is known for, it's the story, it's the action, but it's also the visual representation of what you're doing on there. And just from what I've seen in this graphic for this release video, like I give it a pass on the initial trailer because it's a trailer. It is what it is. But like, I watched it on a 4K TV. I watched it on a 4K monitor. I watched it on my phone. I watched it on my iPad. I watched it in several different places, and I still noticed the same things. So that's my only concern. I think the models look great. I just think they need to be run through the washer one or two more time to make sure it is cleaned up and ready to go. That's just me. It's not going to be a make or break thing. But I just know that if like I can spot graphical errors in the game or things that should have been fixed before launch, it's not going to be as immersive as I wanted it to be.
I see that. I definitely see that.
I mean, Eric, so I think you're the only one of the three of us that played the Avatar game. How did that look polished when it came out in December?
So, for the most part, it looked really good. Like Pandora itself looked incredible. Some of the character models here and there were a little bit rough. They still looked like they needed a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it was a beautiful game. It was absolutely gorgeous. So I had no problem with it. There were a few glitches here and there. Like some of the audio might be a little bit off with facial movements and stuff, mm-hmm. but that was about it.
So that's promising. I know they are using the Snowdrop engine for this. The Snowdrop engine has had its, let's say, ups and downs. Exactly. Some stuff like The Division and The Division 2 have looked amazing on the early trailers. And then when the game's released, they didn't look so hot. So maybe this is them kind of coming back to reality, showing a little bit more of a realistic perspective. Again, these are earlier slices. Every single one of these trailers, I don't know the exact date, but typically it's a couple months out that they slice it and then cut it up a little bit. So the footage should be delayed. So they should be at least 2 or 3 months or so past what we've seen in the trailers. And on top of that, we do have a few months before it releases in August. So I think potentially you could have about 5 to 6 more months of polish in there, John, for you before this does release. But in the end, hopefully graphically, at least environmentally, I'm pretty confident they'll land there. Those models, I'm not as confident, but I do think they'll look pretty good.
I will say this also, like if they want to push it back just a little bit more, go right ahead. Because I've been more than patient for this game. Just make sure it looks good and make sure the game itself is good. That's all I'm going to say.
Unofficially, I think this was pushed back already.
Yeah, it was.
From what I was told internally, they were targeting spring 2024. So with them dropping back to August 30th is the release date, guys, of 2024. So they dropped it back, 4 to 6 months, potentially, depending on when you define spring. So I think a lot of that is probably for what John's concern is with that polishing. Okay, let's talk additions. Eric, I know you went ahead and put in your pre-order. John and I have not quite jumped to that point yet. But for those looking to pre-order Star Wars Outlaws ahead of its August release date, you have three options: the standard, the gold, and the ultimate edition. That standard edition will net you the base game as well as a pre-order bonus. Oh, what is that pre-order bonus, you asked? Well, that's the Kessel Runner bonus pack. We're looking at a cosmetic for your speeder as well as a cosmetic for the Trailblazer spaceship that you will be riding upon as well. So standard edition, pretty solid, $70. Again, game and that pre-order bonus as long as you pre-order it prior to the release of the game. Next up is the gold edition. You have everything in the standard edition, that base game pre-order bonus, plus 3 days of early access as well as the season pass. This is quite a price jump, so we're jumping from $70 to $110. But your big reason here is that season pass. The season pass is going to include 2 DLCs that will release after launch to keep you exploring the world of Star Wars Outlaws with all new stories, quests, and areas to discover. The first one is going to be the Jabba's Gambit exclusive mission available at launch, and then the Kessel Runner character pack featuring additional cosmetics for Kay and Nix. That exclusive mission, I correct myself, that is aside from the other two DLCs that will launch. So that's kind of a beginning welcome. Thanks for purchasing the higher edition. You can go hang out with Jabba and his Gambit. And on top of that, you get this nice little character pack. And then later on down the road, you'll get those two DLCs as well. So really, more or less, the extended price here is pretty much for your extra missions, whatever those two DLCs end up being. And they're pricing those at right around $40, it looks like. So somewhere around a $20 price point or so per expansion, depending on how you weigh out those cosmetics. Last but not least, you get everything in the gold edition for the ultimate edition. You pay another $20, bringing the total to $130. Everything in gold, everything in standard, plus you get the Rogue Infiltrator Bundle. This is going to include cosmetics for Kay, Nix, the speeder, and the Trailblazer spaceship. as well as the Sabacc Shark Bundle. Love the name of that one. Same thing, cosmetics for Kay, her blaster, Nyx, the speeder, and the Trailblazer spaceship. And last but not least, for the art maniacs out there, the Star Wars collectors. You get a digital art book with this one as well. And it comes with some unique cinematic storyboards, some art visuals, and all that goodness. I do love me a digital art book, that is for sure. If you guys want to check that out, that is in the $130 bundle. But there's one more pricing option. If you don't want to pay $130 upfront, if you want to take the monthly approach instead, Ubisoft Plus is also an option, and it will include the Ultimate Edition of the game. That would cost you a nice $18 a month. So if you plan it accordingly and you don't really care about owning the game, you can definitely knock this puppy out, get all the cosmetics, all the extras for a cheaper price there, playing the monthly game as well. Eric, so I know you, again, are the first one to pre-order out of us. Which edition did you go with and why?
I went the Ultimate Edition.
Good God!
I am all in on this game, man. I am all in on this game. Also, the Sabacc Shark Pack, you can literally dress Kay as Lando. Like, that makes me so happy. Like,
I do love,
you know,
that.
Yeah, you can give her a cape and everything. And who doesn't love a good cape? Like, seriously. But I do like the fact of having the season pass and then the Jabba's Gambit mission, which... That's actually that pays homage to a Han Solo Legends novel called The Hutt Gambit.
Mm.
So that title pays homage to that. I like the cosmetics. I love the season pass. I could have gone Ubisoft Plus on this, but this is a game that I just want to own. And like I just want. So I'm sorry to be a Star Wars shill and an Ubisoft shill, but here we go.
John, you seem very strongly on this one. What are your thoughts on the Ultimate Edition?
Eric, this is not directed to you at all. So I apologize in advance. And I'm going to try not to cuss. There is only one freaking correct option here. And it's effing ridiculous that they're even going to do this. Ubisoft Plus. I mean, this is a single player game. Mm-hmm. A single player game. You're gonna play through this in less than a month. Let's be real here. You're gonna play through this in less than a month. You're gonna tell me you're gonna pay $70 for the base edition, or you're gonna pay $110 for the I can't make up my mind edition, or the, you know what, I got such disposable income right now in this economy that I can drop again, it's not a shot at you, Eric.
I know.
$130 freaking dollars for a digital art book that I can get for $18 and download and save to my computer. And then when I am done at playing the game in 2 weeks, I unsubscribe. And guess what? I wait. Why am I going to wait? Because that season pass, after that first initial mission that comes out with launch, is going to be what? A couple months down the road? 4, 5, 6 months down the road? Guess what? You come back and get the $18 Ubisoft Plus pass again, and you've paid $36 now. Still less than what you're paying for the standard edition, and you get all the bonuses of the ultimate, oh my God, $130 pack right there in $36 of buying it for 2 months, 6 months apart from each other. It's the only way to do this right now. It's literally the only way. I get wanting to own it. But at the end of the day, how many times do you go back and replay single-player games 4 or 5 years down the road? Very rarely. Now, there might be a game that, you know, speaks to you a little bit, and you want to go back and revisit it, and that's great. That's fantastic. Pay the $18 and play it again then. It's still less than the $70 for the base edition. I don't understand. There's only one correct option here. There's only one correct option.
Go ahead, Eric. You can rebuttal.
No, I mean, I get where you're coming from, because like I'd be doing the same thing. Like, seriously, I would be definitely be doing the same thing. I don't know. I just felt like this game just spoke to me, and I was just like, you know what? It's also not, I'm not going to get charged for it until like middle of August, so I can always cancel that pre-order if I want to. Then go the Ubisoft Plus route, you know, after I think about it. You know, I just pre-ordered it because I was so hyped up on it, because like that, like that trailer is so damn good.
That's like, what they want. They want that.
I know. But I mean, Ubisoft, if you want to float a copy my way, like your boy's here. Like, you know, that's all I'm going to say. But yeah, that's why I went that route. Plus, I love, like I said, I just love that title of Jabba's Gambit. Like that to me just spoke to the Legends nerd in me.
And look, it's I'm not going to knock anyone who buys the Ultimate Edition. Yeah. Obviously, like if you want to own it, that's great. Now, this is what Ubisoft could have done to shut me up. And I wish developers still did this. Give me something physical. Give me something physical in that Ultimate Edition that you can only get with the Ultimate Edition. That's the way you win people over. Don't give me, like, digital stuff is cool. Digital stuff is great. You tell me I can get a Darth Vader, I mentioned his name, statue with a pre-order for this game. I'm seriously considering the Ultimate Edition. If you're going to
say, like, a replica blaster, you can go and yes. Nick Slushy. There are options available that are not Darth Vader.
Even a snap model of the ship. Like, even doing, like, a snap-together model.
Give me a 6-inch by 2-inch carbonite replica of Han Solo. Like, something stupid like that. Give me a crazy idea. Since Disney's so great with crossovers, limited edition Star Wars Unlimited cards in the Ultimate Edition. Like, do something like that. Give me something physical that makes me want to justify paying $130 when you're also going to throw in my face an $18 a month option for a single player game.
Like, well, that. And you could release the full art book, too. Like a physical version of the art book.
Physical art book.
And you know that's coming down the line because they've done both for Survivor and Fallen Order.
And you know for a fact they're going to put it in their store, though, for everyone to buy separately. Absolutely. Because they're greedy money developers that want more money. Like, and I get it. I totally get it. But I'm sorry. Like, even on their webpage, it pisses me off. You put the Ultimate Edition at $130 right next to the Ultimate Edition for $18 a month. Like, really? Really? Like, if developers are going to complain about the amount of money that goes into developing these games and trying to justify why we've gone from paying $49.99 to $59.99 to $69.99 to probably $79.99 in the next couple of months for these games because the budget to make these games are ridiculous and they're so high and the amount of people that work on them, cool, I understand that. Why are you offering it to me for $18 a month then?
Yeah.
Like, that is what I look, as a consumer, when I see this, that's literally, I ignore the first three options. I literally ignore the first three options because for $18, I can play everything and get everything and then cancel my subscription. And then when I get that little tweet pop up on my phone or on my computer, it says, oh, guess what? The next season pass at mission comes out in 2 weeks. Guess what I do? Resubscribe. Oh, look, I've spent $36 now. I have the game back. I can pick up where I left off, and I have that new mission in the season pass. Oh, the next one's
not going to open this can of worms.
Go for it.
I think it's worth noting just briefly. Ubisoft Plus is currently only available on Xbox consoles and PC. So, just hypothetically speaking, John, let's say you don't have a PC or an Xbox console. You're on PlayStation. Which edition do you go for in that case?
He waits for the you.
I mean, that's an option, right?
Like, I'm gonna take a page out of Joey's playbook here. You invest in an Xbox, is what you do.
That's a cop out answer.
No, I mean, look. At the end of the day, it comes down to how much of a shill are you for the extras, and because look, at the end of the day, digital art books are great. It'll be on Reddit in 3 minutes. For everyone to see. I'm not too worried about that. The Rogue Infiltrator and Sabacc Shark Bundle, they're cosmetics at the end of the day. They don't really do anything. They're just cosmetics. It's like, again, this is also coming from the guy that spent way too much money on cosmetics in League of Legends. So take this with a grain of salt. Why? Like, why? It doesn't change the game. It visually changes, like, a character. It may visually change the color of your ship. But at the end of the day, it doesn't change the game. So if I'm sitting there, I'm just going like, ah, oh, well, you know, if I know I'm a Star Wars fan and I want to play the missions that come out, and I'm really excited for this game and I want to play it early, I think the gold edition is justifiable, right? You prepay for the season pass, so you don't have to pay for those missions when they come out. You get the 3 days early access. I mean, I paid for early access for MLB The Show. I understand how that goes. It makes complete sense to me. So for me, I think the gold edition is your best bang for your buck if you do not give two glasses of blue milk worth of anything towards the bundles and the art book.
Nicely done.
So, yeah, you thought I was going to cuss. Yeah. Yeah, you thought I was going to do it. I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
I am a good boy. So, yeah, it's so it's like that's all I'm trying to get at is I think the gold edition is your best bang for your buck. If you're new to Star Wars, if you are somehow living under the fragment of Alderaan that has landed on your planet, standard edition is completely fine also. I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to upgrade also, even though I don't think it's really going to be worth it. And I'm also kind of curious to see what the season pass is going to cost per mission when it comes out later on down the road. That may be your best bet. Because obviously you're paying for the 3-day early access also, which is probably going to be right around like a $25, $30 worth kind of thing. So that's kind of where I'm at. I do think the Gold Edition is going to be your best bang for your buck. But if you're a diehard fan and you're on PlayStation and you don't own a computer or an Xbox, first off, I apologize. Second, you can do the Ultimate. I do think it's a little overpriced, but I do think the gold edition is the best bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think season pass, at least just given what we've seen in some other games, will probably be like a save $5 or $10 type of situation. So those individual missions will probably either be $10 for the DLC or $15 if I had to guess. And then your season pass comes in there and cuts it down to 20 or so, depending what price point they go with. So should save you $5 to $10 going that direction. But again, it won't be the end of the world if you're only looking at spending a few more dollars here or there. But it is nice to have that Ubisoft Plus option. If you are on PC or Xbox, you can kind of plan around that if you just want to play for a month or 2 months or just renew when those DLCs eventually do drop.
Well, that, and you also don't know like the length of these missions in the DLC either. Like, we're not looking at a Starfield size game here for Outlaws. I mean, that would be cool, but like, you like the missions could be about like 2 or 3 hours long for all we know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know.
Right. Yeah. I think we'll probably get a little bit of a better idea with that first Jabba quest that we talked about. Yeah. Once we know what the length of that one is, I think we'll have a little bit more guessability or accurate guessing per se going off these other DLCs when they do eventually drop. Anything else to say about Star Wars Outlaws here before we head into a little bit of chatting about some Fallout TV series stuff?
I agree with John. They need to do unlimited cards for Star Wars Outlaws.
Yes,
I think that would be cool. And I definitely think that'll come, whether it's a starter expansion to start or some kind of expansion pack. I would be stunned if they don't do that.
I am. I think Star Wars Unlimited tie-in would be amazing. It is the first game since Magic the Gathering when I played that way back in the day to actually make me want to collect physical cards again. And I think that says something. So I would love a tie-in with Star Wars Unlimited. And yes, please and thank you in advance.
I think they will. I think they'll tie it into the next set because like the next set's going to be like very scoundrel and Outer Rim heavy. So
that feels like it'd be perfect, right? Just tie it right into that. Throw your Boba Fett's in there, your Jango's, your Cad Bane's, plenty of action to mix in there.
Did confirm Cad Bane, and they did confirm another Boba Fett for that set also. So
I like it. I like it a lot. So plenty to look forward to. Again, guys, this one is set to drop August 30th, a slight internal delay, moving it from spring to fall. Hopefully that means we do get the graphical polish that we're wanting here, as well as no Force-sensitive characters making their appearance as a main character. We do stick to those blasters, equipments, and bounty life. In the nice slums and darker areas of some of the Star Wars universe. Should be exciting to explore when this does drop in the fall. Moving on, we have the Fallout TV series. I know we've all had a chance to dive into episode one. We'll keep this mostly spoiler-free for those who have not watched it. But Fallout is the most recent video game adaptation moving from a game to a TV series, this one by Amazon Prime, in tune with Bethesda Game Studios and Todd Howard over there, helping with some of the writing behind the scene with Christopher Nolan's brother, Jonathan. I am thoroughly impressed. I went into this thinking this was going to be one of the better series. My initial thoughts were The Last of Us and Fallout should be two of the best ones to look forward to with all these adaptations that are coming. There's something like 75 to 90 at this point in the works. Many of those still unannounced to the public at this time. But there's a lot of video game stuff going on in Hollywood. And so far, The Last of Us landing extremely well. Tons of nominees for different shows like the Emmys on that one. It seems like Fallout could be setting itself up for some nominations as well with this first trailer. Eric, I know you're a huge fan of Walter Goggins, one of the main characters in this particular one. And so far, he has done a great job. Again, we'll keep it mostly spoiler-free here story-wise for those who haven't had a chance to dive in, but talking a little bit about how accurate they have been to the games as well as the different perspective they've taken. So give us your thoughts on Walter and what we've seen so far here in Fallout.
So I've loved Walton Goggins ever since he was on The Shield on FX, like back in the early 2000s. Absolutely incredible actor. Loved him in Ant-Man and the Wasp, too. I thought he was great in that movie. Love his character in Fallout. The beginning of this show alone is worth watching. Like, that opening sequence alone is
so
is
good.
It was very good.
Worth watching. Also, this is a Nolan behind the camera, so you're going to get a lot of great acting from these actors as well. I'm not a big fan of these games. Like, I really found it hard to get into these games, like even 76, which is a community game, but this makes me want to play Fallout. Like, this show makes me want to play Fallout and, like, really just give it a chance, because the world building they put in just the first episode alone is just fantastic.
Yeah, I think they do a really good job. For those who don't know much about Fallout, it's kind of like a post-nuclear war where people have been in a shelter for a while and then they're kind of coming out to the outside world. And there's different things, like obviously nuclear war brings radiation. It's a big theme throughout the different games. And then you have the different plot lines and stories of what is life like in a world where we don't have maybe the surveillance of police and sheriffs in these different areas? And what does the crime turn into? What does the industry turn into? Technology and so on and so forth. So again, this show should dive into that. Most of us are very early on, so we don't know exactly how that's going to play out. But based on the games, I think there is a lot to work with there. And it's a question I think a lot of us have asked, especially like even in current times with everything going on in Russia right now and the nuclear arms that they have amassed over there as well. And the different perspectives of what if we did have a nuclear war between Russia and the U.S. or different countries throughout the world, what would that look like? And I think this obviously takes a satirical approach to it all, but I think it is an interesting question in today's day and age, and I think it brings a little bit more level of realism to this as well. John, I know you've started the series as well. What are your initial thoughts here in episode one?
Well, first off, Joey, as residents of where we live, if that was to ever happen, I don't think we have to worry about what would happen. Because I'm pretty sure we would be melted. So I'm not going to worry too much about nuclear war.
That is true.
Because, I mean, unless the wind's blowing north, then sorry, Eric. You know.
Oh, no, I'm in that blast radius too, bud. So
you know, so for those who don't know, like here in the Washington, D.C. area, where we all unfortunately call home, the middle of the Pentagon is actually, there's a cafe in the middle of the Pentagon, called, Ground Zero Cafe, because during the Cold War, the Soviets would target the middle of the Pentagon, and kind of send off those alarms in the military's, you know, surveillance and everything. So it's, the running joke is it's called Ground Zero. Because in the case of a nuclear war or war breaking out in the U.S., the Pentagon would probably be one of the first targets because it's literally the head of all of our militaries in that one building. So makes a lot of sense. So if nukes went off in our area, I don't think we'd have to worry about that. But nonetheless, Fallout, the series. Yes, I will second and third. The opening scene was incredible. You know it's coming. You don't know how it's going to come. And I thought they did a very subtle job at delivering it. And then going into the mass chaos that ensued. And I thought they did a very good job. And if you've seen Oppenheimer, it really reminds me a lot of that scene during the test. Kind of how like it started slow, but then like it got extremely violent within seconds. That's kind of what that opening scene reminded me of. And shocker, it's a Nolan who did it. I really liked it. A lot more gory and graphic than I thought it was going to be.
I was very surprised by that as well.
There were a couple scenes in the first episode that I wanted to hide while watching because I could physically feel the pain. Not a fan, but that being said, visually incredible, absolutely amazing. Just was not prepared for it. Now I know what to expect. It's not going to be as a shock to me after the first episode. But yes, if you are squeamish towards blood, gore or anything like that, just get ready when you watch episode one because it be a coming. It's very good though. The story develops quite nicely. There's a lot of plot twists and everything within the first episode. Also, as someone who also hasn't played too many of the video games, this series so far has really intrigued me into the overall story. Now, granted, you know, post-apocalyptic, post-nuclear warfare is not a new concept to video games, but I think cinematically in this sense, tying it in with a video game, they're doing a really, really good job with it. The idea of having bunkers and like IRL world right now, we have bunker families. We have people building nuclear fallout shelters, you know, three floors beneath the ground and, you know, putting all their life savings into, you know, anti-radiation shielding and everything. It's whatever. So, you know, while it is based on a video game, it is like you were saying, Joey, there's some kind of like scary realistic aspect to all of this. It's weird. Like it's odd. Like you want to enjoy, but at the same time in the back of your mind, like if you're paying attention to like current world events, you're just like, what would I do in this situation? And again, don't think we'd have to worry about that. We would be melted. So so far so good. I'm excited to watch the rest of the series. I am very excited for it. I think the actors and actresses that they've pulled in have done a phenomenal job so far. The story is great. It flows incredibly well. The action and the story and the dialogue, it doesn't miss a beat. It's very, very well done.
I will also say it's surprisingly funny, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is surprisingly
funny.
Which
is so true to Fallout in the universe itself.
Which, the one thing that cracked me up, so if I may spoil one little part, it has nothing really to do with the story, but essentially how they like create marriages. Like the scene with the main character in front of like the maternity board where she's like given her qualifications and like talks about how fertile she is. And then when she meets her husband, the first question she asks him is a sperm count. I'm just like, What in the world you guys talking about? Like, this is the most like left field conversation I could think of. But at the same time, it's like, put yourself in this situation. Yeah. You know, radiation actually affects all of that. So if radiation is penetrating these bunkers, those are all legitimate questions for the survival of a race. Like, so that actually makes sense, but like, it's so left field that it makes you laugh when you watch that, because like I'm sitting here just going like, Joey, I'm pretty sure you did not have that conversation with your wife when you guys were dating. Like that is just a very random like thing to talk about.
But like, right? Is like the social interaction. Like you're back in this bunker with a bunch of your cousins and your family, and you really haven't interacted as much with these other people. So I think that kind of plays into it as well. Like not only the scientific aspect, but also that like social awkwardness aspect as well.
That goes to another joke that's right around that bit, where her cousin goes, don't do it, I love you.
Yes.
And then she says, well, you know, fooling around when we were younger, it was fine. But now that we're adults, like, we can't do it anymore. And I'm just like, oh, my God, like, what is going on here?
I thought this bunker was in California, not West Virginia. Like, what in the world?
So funny.
It was so, like, you're sitting there, it's like, you see the chemistry between them. You're just like, wow, I wonder why they're not getting together. And then, like, as soon as, like, they're meeting, like, her, like, arranged spouse, it's like, oh, they're cousins, that's why. And then she hits you with the, yeah, fooling around when we were younger is one thing. You're just like, wait, what? Oh, my God, it was so good. But, like, it's left field moments like that that catch you off guard. Like, when you can feel, like, the tension in the room, like, you can feel the tension in the bunker, if you will, of, you know, of how strict things are. Like, they're trying to do things in a certain manner to ensure their survival. They're trying to make sure everyone's protected, getting enough food, everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's law and order. And then it's like a left field comment like, oh, what's your sperm count? Or, oh, we can't fool around anymore, we're cousins. Like, you're just like, wait. And then, like, what follows after that? Like, the transition is so wild.
Yeah.
And I like that. Like, it's not done that it's like broken up, like it kills the entire episode. It's done in a manner that can take you from a place of laughter back to a place of tense emotion leading into fear and fight and flight that a lot of movies and TV shows really struggle with. So they've done a very great job at just like the transition between those moments and tastefully putting in those satirical moments to make the viewer laugh a little bit. Joey, look, and Eric too, like if I was on set, I would have a hard time getting through those scenes without laughing because is that ridiculous, which is also why I am not an actor. But I just, it's, that's what I like. I like being able to have a serious show where the lore brings you into it. You're immersed in what you're watching. Random, almost did it. Random comment pops up and then brings you back down and then you hit the ground running with like the seriousness and then the, you know, fighting and all this other fun stuff. So very tastefully done.
I will also say the woman playing Lucy is fantastic.
She's amazing.
Phenomenal.
She is amazing. And she's so likable as a character. Mm-hmm. So likable as a character. I will even say the guy playing Maximus is really great. And then, of course, like Walton Goggins is great. Kyle MacLachlan's really great in the first episode, too. Like, he's fantastic. So, I mean, bravo to the whole cast. Like, they casted it so well.
Yeah, they did a really good job. And I think one thing that kind of sets it apart from some of the other adaptations we've had in the past is just how accurate it is to the actual lore of the game. And they do go off script, right? Like, this is not a mainline Fallout game that they're translating word for word directly. They don't really set themselves up to fail in that aspect. They kind of do what we've always asked. The three of us have always said, like, hey, give us something in-universe, but make it a side story. Make it something out there. They decided to go with LA as the location here. It's a different vault from anything we've had before. The closest thing was New Vegas. And there is a little bit of potential retconning going there. But outside of that little bit of the timeline shift where Vegas takes place versus this, for the most part, everything is pretty accurate. The posters in game are accurate. The suits are accurate. The weapons, the Pip-Boy, a lot of the different... I mean, I don't want to go into too much to bring up spoilers, but a lot of the stuff is very much accurate to the game, from the littlest details to the bigger details. And I think that is something that's reflected very well in this and something that has not been done historically super well in video game adaptations so far.
I will also say, go ahead, John.
I was just going to say real quick, in a moment of, oh my gosh, my cell phone's listening to me. Apple News just pinged me for a story from the Smithsonian. A town that kept its nuclear bunker a secret for three decades. The people of White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, helped keep the Greenbrier Resort bunker designed to hold the entirety of Congress hidden from 1958 to 1992. So there you go. Nuclear warfare, bunker, West Virginia. We're just missing the kissing cousins. That's all we're missing there.
And it's probably happening in the bunker, John.
It's a yo.
I mean, well, Fallout 76 was in West Virginia. That's true.
A little Appalachia.
But I will say this, like, the whole Brotherhood of Steel, like, lore just really just brought me in. Like, I got so intrigued in their entire mission. And I hope we get to see the new California Republic, too, because this does take place in California. So,
Yeah, definitely a lot to unpack with that one. In particular, so this is a big argument on social media right now. The way Amazon decided to do this was they released all 8 episodes of the series all at once. They released it a day early, too, so thanks, Amazon, for that. But what are your guys' thoughts on releasing weekly versus altogether? From a business perspective, I personally think it makes more sense to release weekly. With that being said, I don't really subscribe to Amazon Prime Video because of Amazon Prime Video, mainly just for Amazon Prime. So I don't know if it'd make a difference in that aspect at all. What are your guys' thoughts, though, with these shows weekly versus altogether? John, we'll start with you.
So initially I would always say I want it all up front because I want to binge watch it. But then I'm always upset when I'm done binge watching because I'm like, I wish this season lasted longer. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to have to wait another 12, 13, 14 months for the next season. Initially I'm like, yes, give it, I want it all. Like, give it to me. I want every single, part of this series. But at the same time, it's like, I also do kind of enjoy the idea of, like, getting together like with friends for a watch party or something, like, hey, meet up at my place 9 p.m. Like, let's watch the new episode, like arrive at 8:30. We'll grab drinks and have food and whatever. We'll chat about, we'll watch a recap video, then head into the next episode when it releases. I think that's kind of cool also. I agree with you. Business perspective, weekly is the best way to go. I personally, I don't mind weekly. And I like the fact that it will take me longer to get through the series, and it shortens the wait time in between that season and the season that comes after or whatever comes next in that sense, versus watching everything at once and you get done and you're excited because, like, oh, I finished it. It was great. Now I want season 2, and then I don't have a release date, and I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's been greenlit, and I don't know how this series is actually doing because it's only the first day, and I watched all 8 episodes and wasted 16 hours kind of thing. So yeah, I would prefer a weekly release.
Eric, over to you.
I'm in the same boat. Like, I do enjoy, like, releasing them all at once because then I could, like, watch it at my own pace if I do decide to binge it. But I do love the weekly format, and Amazon has been giving us weekly formats with some of their shows. Like, Invincible was week to week, Rings of Power was week to week. So, like, for them to, like, release all 8 episodes at a time, like, that shows extreme confidence in Amazon. Like, Amazon has extreme confidence in the show. Like, it's going to deliver. We've pretty much heard that they've all but greenlit season 2 already for the show. But I do like that week to week. I like sitting around and talking to my friends about what happened in the latest episode and speculating things. Like, it goes back to when we were all watching Game of Thrones. Like, when we speculated, well, some of us.
Eric was.
Yeah, but like I would speculate with people at work, like, what was going to happen next. Like, even like when The Mandalorian was going on, the three of us would talk and we would try to speculate about what was going to happen next. That's what I like with week to week. And I'm more of a week to week person because, like, just give that to me, because then if I do want to watch something while I wait for the next season, hey, I can finally rewatch all of it in one go because all of the episodes were finally released. So,
yeah, I agree. I feel like you miss kind of that water cooler conversation, that Discord conversation amongst friends, that guessing, but also the social media perspective, right? Like, with everything happening at once, you get this giant mass of day 1 to 48 hours or so of different posts and comments and pictures. But then outside of that, it just kind of is going to slowly die off. versus that week to week where you have that excitement every week. You're going to see it trending every single week. You're going to get more game sales elongated over time, I feel like. I just feel like, and again, Amazon is a big company. I'm sure they have data to back up this decision. But with that being said, yeah, I feel like maybe you're not pulling in new Prime subscribers, but I still think it's worth pulling in the extra clicks on social from the Bethesda perspective, pulling in those extra game sales potentially over those course of those weeks as well. So I don't know. I'm surprised all three of us are week to week, but that is kind of the way I'm leaning as well. So we'll see what it is. And it seems like a lot of social media, to my surprise, is leaning weekly too. And I don't really know when we've had this change. I don't know if it's something like a lot of people are getting tired of Marvel, right? Because they've just put out so much content back to back to back. Maybe we're starting to feel the same way about some of these bigger drops where we are getting some of these shows all together and then everyone binges them. And it's almost like a getting tired of that binge culture per se of just seeing everything at once and then kind of being done with it and moving on to the next thing and just constantly consuming content versus spreading out a little bit more, having more of those person to person interactions.
Yeah. And yeah. I think I also like we're gamers, right? We play video games. One of the things we like to do is see how fast we can beat a game. And we want to see how fast we can watch the series also. Like we want to be one of the first done so we can talk about it, right? We don't have that self-control. That's where these companies need to step in and give us that self-control because some of us will call out from work to binge watch an entire series in one day. Not obviously, I didn't do that with Fallout because I'm still not, you know, fully done with episode one. But nonetheless, like it's something I've done in the past where I'm like super excited for a show or there's a new game that comes out or back in the old days where you had to go to the midnight release at the local GameStop to pick your games up, I would call out because I'm waiting in line all night to get the copy of my game that I want to play the game. You know, so I need corporate America to regulate my binge watching habits by giving me weekly releases.
Quick question, John. Have you seen, I don't think you're there yet. Have you seen the Goggins reveal of the post nuke yet?
No.
Oh, that I'm curious to get your reaction on as well.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. He has a fun entrance.
It's pretty good. Is that in episode one? I thought that was in episode two.
No, it's episode one.
That's right.
That might get a big eye roll from John. We'll see. I'm curious to see that reaction.
It's really silly and stupid, but it's pretty good.
Look, there's nothing that can be sillier or stupider than asking what your sperm count is.
we'll see about that, actually. We'll see.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that's a reoccurring thing.
No. The sperm count thing is not a reoccurring thing.
I don't need that.
But I will say this. Like, some of the people that Lucy encounters in the Wasteland are very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm five episodes in. I have three more left. I'll probably finish them probably tomorrow or over the weekend.
Mm.
And I'm just going to say this. Eight is a stupid number.
It is.
Give me 10. Give me 12.
Yeah.
Eight is a stupid number. Eight doesn't do anything for me.
I mean, they are long, though. What are they? They're all right around 2 hours, Eric?
Don't care.
No, the first episode's an hour 15, and then the rest. Oh, is it only that long? Yeah, the rest are only about an hour, and then I think the shortest episode's 48 minutes, with everything else like being about an hour.
No, I don't want that. Give me 10 episodes. Give me 12 episodes. Eight is such an odd, like, it's just, it doesn't feel right. Like, same thing with Andor, 8.
Yeah. No, Andor was 12.
12, pardon me.
Andor was longer.
Yeah. No.
Ahsoka was 8.
Yeah, Ahsoka, 8. Like that, to me, like, give me 10 and some of those storylines could have played out a little bit more. And it wouldn't feel as rushed or chaotic in certain parts. Like, again, not saying that's what Fallout is doing, because so far, episode 1, very happy with the pacing and what they're doing. We'll see if I feel that way later on. But, like, I don't know, like 8 to me just seems like it's not enough for most people to tell these elaborate stories stories in these storylines. You know, they're different perspectives or 4, 5, 6 different perspectives. You can't do that in 8 episodes. Like, and if you do, you don't do it well, And most people leave going like, oh, it felt rushed, or, oh, I wish they played this one out a little bit more, or, oh, whatever happened to this person? They kind of fell off in episode four. You know, that's what you end up with. And then, like, you know, you get Game of Thrones season seven. I don't know what that means because I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I'm sure that's going to trigger people out there. But that's what you get when you try to tie things up quickly in the last season. Don't do it.
Look at Ahsoka. Like, the final episode of Ahsoka is a huge letdown.
Yes, 100%. Agreed.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoyed the show. You know, I thought it was fun. But that final episode of the season feels so rushed, and the characters do not feel developed at all.
Story stopped, it made no sense.
Like, you should have focused on what Baylan was doing, honestly, for a couple of episodes. Like, you should have focused on him and what he was doing. But that's neither here nor there.
And you introduced Thrawn, a major, major freaking character in Star Wars. And, like, I feel like he got, like, not enough screen time. Yeah,
he took a back seat.
He showed up. He was like, sup, Star Wars fam. I'm here. I'm going to go stand in the back corner and play Sabacc real quick for the next three episodes. Enjoy.
And then the Thrawn that we got felt so out of character with the Thrawn that we got, like, in Rebels and everything. Yes, like, agreed. He felt so out of character because he was just like, oh, this guy failed. I'm going to give him a condemnation or something like that. And it's just like, really? Like, you're going to give a slap on the wrist for, like, getting shot down? Like,
he drank the Bacta water.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
So, yeah, I wish Fallout was about 12 episodes because, like, but that's me wanting to spend more time in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey, I told you last night, I am not a post-apocalyptic fan. Mm-hmm. But this has me. Like, this has me hooked because of just how well the story is.
Yeah, I think the acting has been top notch. The environmental scenes have been really well done. The writing so far. And again, I'm just one episode in, so I'm a very small drop in the giant puddle of Fallout here. But I do think, again, this is going to tempt people to explore more. I think the downloads for Fallout games, Fallout 4, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 76, there's a lot of promos going on right now. I think Amazon Prime, if you're on Twitch right now watching this show, you guys can check your Amazon Prime stuff. They have, like, I think Fallout 76 is free, maybe a couple other Fallout games included in Amazon Prime Gaming this month. On top of that, if you're on Game Pass, they're over there. If you're on Game Pass, there's perks for Fallout 76 that are unlockable too for the Ultimate subscribers. So there are a lot of different ways to get into Fallout right now. I don't know if it's on PS Plus as well, but that's always a possibility too. Definitely worth checking out the games if you do want to explore more of the universe, understand more of the Easter eggs, which I feel like there are so many Easter eggs in this series. And I think that is something that people going back for those rewatches are going to notice so many small details that maybe they didn't initially, especially if they decide to dive into the games and then go back into the series to see how things line up a little bit more. So I love the fact that Bethesda, and again, I think this is something else as far as this video game adaptations go, that Bethesda and Todd Howard have been so involved in this project and the writing alongside of it, running the ideas of the plot against them. I think that really helps the accuracy of the world. And then you don't have all these people out there, like with the Halo show, yelling about how inaccurate it is compared to the games. I think that is one of the big major factors of why. And again, the other one I think is something we've argued for so long. Branching off. Give us something in the universe, but a different story. We don't necessarily want to follow Kratos or Master Chief or these big heroes that we've had in our games before. We want a different hero. We want a different heroine like we have here with Lucy. And I think they've done a good job kind of expanding upon the universe and bringing us a new intriguing side story alongside it.
I'll say this, Joey, I don't mean to get to offend you. It is not replicated in a video game. It is an alternate storyline in a video game universe. Already, not even done with the first episode, 1,000,000% better than the first episode of Halo.
Oh, 100%. I think everyone agrees.
Yeah. But that's how you do an alternate storyline in a universe, not... Mm-hmm. Not what we saw with the Halo series is what we're seeing right now with Fallout so far is the way you honor a game franchise in a different form of media without destroying what the franchise set forth in the first place, allowing you to make a TV series. So Like Joey, I'm sorry. I'm going to put it in the same category as Super Mario Bros. Halo and Super Mario Bros. Very, very disappointing.
I mean, you haven't seen season two yet. I think they did revive some of it. I think for me, like, I think it's very easy to say most video game adaptations have not been done well.
Correct.
I think there's a very limited number that have been. I would argue that the best one so far is Arcane from League of Legends and Riot Games. A lot of people are now saying Fallout is better than The Last of Us. I still, again, I'm one episode in. I lean toward The Last of Us on that. But I think one thing Fallout does well compared to The Last of Us is The Last of Us takes the main storyline and branches off of it, similar to what we saw in Halo, but again, much, much less extreme than the Halo perspective of that, versus this that's taking the universe, but a completely different storyline. And I think that's one reason a lot of fans are resonating more with this than even they did with The Last of Us, which still got some very high praise out there as well.
Well, I also feel like this is as close to an adaptation that we would get of New Vegas without it being a New Vegas adaptation.
Yeah, that's a good argument, too.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting stuff, guys. As we come to the end of today's show, we've spent quite a bit of time chattering, and I could chat with you both for so, so much longer. But anything else to say about Fallout, the TV series, Star Wars Outlaws, or any other gaming news this week? Eric, also, before we sign off, I'd be curious to see what you're playing as of late as well.
Okay, so I'll answer all three questions real quick. As far as Fallout, just watch it. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. It's one of the most beautiful looking shows that I've seen on TV. And actually, the CGI is very bearable with what you get in this show. It looks very clean. And like, it had a high budget, I think, Joey. You said it like had a very high budget. It was like $150 million.
It was the highest budget show to get a grant in California for season two's filming. So I don't know where you put that exactly. I have the number. I'll pull it up as we go through.
Yeah. But it looks fantastic. It's funny. It's action packed. It has great drama and great characters. Watch that. As far as Star Wars Outlaws, I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm ready to hang out with Kay and Nyx and the rest of the crew. I'm ready to steal some stuff. I hope there's a Sabacc mini game that I can play because I'll probably just spend hours playing that instead. But yeah, so ready for that. And as far as what I'm playing, I'm actually just playing MLB The Show right now. I'm really just diving into MLB The Show. Playing that on Xbox Series S and also on cloud, doing the whole road to the show thing. I have a third baseman that got drafted by the Giants. I've hit over 50 home runs so far in this season.
Turn the difficulty up.
yeah, exactly. But no, it's a really fun game. I've also done the March to October with the Baltimore Orioles. So I'm doing kind of like a season long thing with that. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Mostly reading right now, and also starting to play Star Wars Unlimited, which is an amazing card game. John can tell you it's an incredible card game. So
it's fantastic. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back on to talk some card games and board games here in the future. Absolutely. We typically stick to the video game side of things, but I know all three of us are enthusiasts of the card genre and board games as well. I've kickstarted a few recently, and I'd love to talk more about them.
Yes.
But yeah, overall, I mean, there's definitely some good stuff out here with Fallout, Star Wars Outlaws, and such as well. Eric, that budget for you, $153 million. I don't know if that's the season two estimated budget or the season one budget, but either way, somewhere around $150 million or so.
I mean, if you look at it, Rings of Power, they were looking at $1 billion for five seasons for that. So it would make sense for Fallout to have a pretty big budget, too.
Yeah, definitely up there overall. As always, sir, thank you for joining us. Go ahead and shout out those socials before John heads us into the closing.
Oh, yeah. You can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever Elon's calling it this week at SB Transmissions. You can follow me on Threads at the same name, Instagram at the same name. And we do have a Facebook page, which is Starlight Beacon Transmissions Podcast. And yeah, I am also on Discord at OG Flavortown. I am also on Blue Sky, SB Transmissions. And I believe I still have a Hive account too, and that's SB Transmissions. So,
wow.
Even though I'm not really active on Hive.
You are you going to throw your MySpace out there while you're at it?
No, but on my my AOL Instant Messenger is next.
Okay, time out. You bring that up. I dealt with an account at my big boy job today, and they weren't getting emails from us, and so I had to verify the email account. Tell me why in the year of 2024 someone still has an AIM.com email address, not an AOL, an AIM email address. I didn't think those servers were still around.
Thing.
Yeah. Like it blew my mind. I'm like, sir, you do realize you have an AIM.com email address. Like, do you have like a Gmail and iCloud? MSN.
That's like having an Earthlink and a Hotmail.
Yes, I'm serious. Going like a Yahoo. Like
exactly.
Ask him what his Zanga journal was. You know, back in some stupid
Live journal. Tom and I still talk on MySpace, which MySpace probably looks like RoboCop's Detroit right now. It's probably just like all bullet ridden and everything.
R.I.P. MySpace, the OG.
Yeah, exactly.
We're pouring out for the OG.
Which I think that's just like a music site now. Like it's more of a music social networking site now.
I mean that's where a lot of big bands got their break, was on MySpace back in the day. Like the crazy thing was, like, I remember like it was like 8 years ago they did a massive purge of either you save your account or we're gonna permanently delete it. And it's like, I didn't pay attention because I haven't been on MySpace, since the J. Edgar Hoover administration. And so it's like, I'm not gonna go back on. It's not kind of like I was like, I kind of want to go back and see what it looked like, because that's where a lot of us learned how to code. Like that was like the first coding website that you could actually mess around with your coding. But anywho, we're boomers, is what we're trying to say. But Joey, I don't believe we have anything else, right? We're good to wrap up here.
I think we're good to head into that closing.
All right. Well, we got to get back to the retirement home, so we're gonna wrap this one up here, Nation. So that's gonna do it for this edition of Level Up Live. But before you go, make sure you follow the show here on Twitch to catch the next episode of Level Up Live. If you listen to the show on our podcast feed, please leave us a review. The Level Up Podcast is available Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, any podcatcher. Just look us up. We are there for you. And we would love to hear from you. We love to hear from our community so much. There are multiple ways for you to reach out to us. Joey, what are some of those ways?
Absolutely, guys. In addition to following Eric, you can also find us as well over on Twitter/X and Facebook at OTN Media, on Instagram and Threads at OTN_Media. Last but not least, hit us up with a follow over here on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN Media, where this show, our premier gaming and esports podcast, typically happens Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But follow social media for any schedule changes there. Last but not least, discord.me/OTN is the place to be to join the conversation as well.
All right, make sure you tune in next week. It may be on a Wednesday. I don't know yet. I don't have my NBA 2K League schedule yet. I should get that sometime soon. But nonetheless, it'll either be Wednesday or Thursday of next week. So it'll either be April 17th or 18th. Make sure you follow socials to know. And we will continue to cover the greatest in gaming news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that sub and follow button to know when the next episode is ready for your entertainment pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Enjoy your weekend. And remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. Oh boy, here we go. We haven't done this one in a while. A three-way. Can we do this? And as always,
level up.
Level up.